communion. What comes to your mind when I say that word? I'm sure our responses would be varied, shaped by our experiences in practice as well as theological understandings. So I grew up at New Danville Mennonite Church just south of Lancaster, and I remember communion as a very solemn, reflective event that was preceded by actually two previous events. First, there was preparatory service. Any of you remember that or participate in that? Yeah. It was held on Wednesday before communion, and the focus of the sermon was to prepare the congregation for communion, which meant to be free of all of your sins. That was followed by council meeting, and the bishop and the preacher and the deacon went up into the anteroom, and then groups of 20 to 25 people filed into the anteroom, and then they would ask, "Are you at peace with God, with fellow men, and the church?" And the members would go around and they would say, "Yes, yes, yes, yes," usually. Because close communion was practiced that only those that said yes at council meeting could participate. And then communion itself was also actually a very somber affair. And women, my mother reminded me, always wore black dresses, which I didn't remember, but that was apparently the tradition. Communion was followed by foot washing about once a year, and foot washing was a reminder to serve one another. The services were longer, and I was always glad that communion was just twice a year because children just watched. I was baptized at age 12, and then I had the opportunity to go with my mother maybe once or twice before this tradition kind of stopped, out to the anteroom. I hoped, sincerely hoped, that I had confessed all my sins and was telling the truth when I said yes, because that's what the scripture said that we just got done reading. So what was missing from my understanding and practice of communion? Let's begin about 500 years ago with an excerpt from the interrogation of Elizabeth, who we heard from about 3 or 4 weeks ago, who was one of the first Anabaptists. The interrogator: "What did the Lord say when he gave his disciples the supper?" Elizabeth: "What did he give them, flesh or bread?" Interrogator: "He gave them bread." Elizabeth: "Didn't the Lord remain sitting there? How then could they eat the flesh of the Lord?" The first Anabaptists in the 1500s made a really strong point that the bread did not turn into the actual body of Christ, and the wine did not turn into the actual blood of Christ. And 100 years later, in the 1600s, that belief was still firmly held as it is held today among Anabaptists. The discussion, though, in the 1600s focused on the importance of being without any sin when one receives communion. And this was rooted in this 1 Corinthians 11 text. They had a rigorous examination and confession ritual prior to communion and celebrated communion once or twice a year, which apparently continued until my memory in the 1960s, roughly. The 1995 Mennonite Confession of Faith reframes communion for me in a different way, and I'm going to read some of the points of the Mennonite Confession of Faith regarding communion. "We believe that the Lord's Supper or communion is a sign by which the church thankfully remembers the new covenant which Jesus established by his death. In communion, members of the church renew their covenant with God and with one another. And as one body, we participate in the life of Jesus Christ given for the redemption of humankind, and we recommit ourselves to the way of the cross, the way of the cross which does what is right, even if it means death. And we recognize our oneness with believers everywhere." I like that. What might it look like in practice? Jesus said, as he broke the bread and as he shared the cup, he said, "Remember me." And our monthly practice of sharing communion is a reminder through which we see ourselves and all those around us in the light of Jesus' radical grace and radical love. I now notice a different message, though, in this scripture text. And because as a child I heard, make sure you're without sin when you take communion. But what I missed was the context, and I purposefully missed the context in what I had Sherry read this morning. And I'd like to look at it now. Previous to those verses, it says, Paul told the Corinthians that the Lord's Supper or communion is not about everybody eating their own food in the fellowship hall, where some have way too much and others don't have any. And then Paul relates how Jesus introduced communion, and he follows up with, and that's why those who eat bread or drink the cup of the Lord inappropriately will be guilty of the Lord's body and blood, and that each individual should test themselves and eat from the bread and drink from the cup in that way. I think that Paul was actually talking about the inequities of the rich and the poor, the haves and the have-nots, the outcasts. He was really talking about how one lives their life. And that's the message that I had missed. This is the way Jesus loved. This is the way he gave his body, and this is the way Jesus poured out his life. I'd like to think about some of those ways. Jesus invites us to remember how he lived. I'm going to read some statements followed by, "And Jesus said," and then I invite you all to respond with, "Remember me." Jesus lived a life of love and action for the cultural outcasts, the women, the Samaritans, the tax collectors, the zealots, the lepers, and others. And Jesus said, "Remember me." Jesus spoke up against injustices when he overturned the money changer tables in the temple, and when he stopped the stoning of the woman caught in adultery, and when he challenged the status quo, and Jesus said, "Remember me." Jesus didn't exclude those who made bad choices. Jesus served, he actually served the bread to Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And Jesus said, "Remember me." So, what does it look like for us? What does it look like for us to stand up for the marginalized and welcome them into community? What does it look like for us to speak up against injustices, restoring broken community? And what does it look like for us to listen and have conversation with those who think and act and behave in a way that is contrary to Jesus' way of love, so that walls are destroyed and change can happen? Jesus said, "Remember me." I invite you at this point, just going to put a plug in for the adult Sunday school class. I think we're going to address some of those this morning, right, Marty? Yeah. So I invite you to stay for that. We're going to explore responses to injustices and things that aren't right in our community and culture. God loves us. God welcomes all of us. And it's in this context that community and communion belong together. The Latin word is actually communionem, which means fellowship, mutual participation, and sharing. I like that. God draws people into the church to be part of a community. What does it look like for CMCL to be the type of community that forms connections and is being the church in a way that keeps us connected, grounded, and keeps us coming back? And then, what does it look like for us to be involved in those inequities and injustices outside of these church walls in our community and in our country?